First Thessalonians chapter 3. First Thessalonians chapter 3 verses 1 through 5. Therefore, when we could no longer endure it, we thought it good to be left in Athens alone, and sent Timothy, our brother and minister of God, and our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ, to establish you and to encourage you concerning your faith, that no one should be shaken by these afflictions. For you yourselves know that we were appointed for this, that is, for afflictions. It's literally the word tribulations. For in fact, we told you before, when we were with you, that we would suffer tribulation just as it happened, and you know. On account of this, or for this reason, when I could no longer endure it, I sent to know your faith, lest by some means the tempter had tempted you, and our labor might be in vain. Next Sunday, for our Sunday before Thanksgiving, we get into the thankfulness of Paul and finish out this chapter. But in the first part of 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verses 1 through 5, you remember the Thessalonians letter is broken up into testimonies. Chapter 1 is the testimony that the Christians in Thessalonica had. Chapter 2, the testimony of Paul as he ministered to them and approached them. Chapter 3 is the testimony of Timothy. Chapter 4 is the testimony of the Lord, and chapter 5 is the testimony that these believers are to have until the coming of Christ. The Christians in Thessalonica, the church there was born when Paul preached the gospel there. After he came from Philippi on his missionary journey and he came into Thessalonica, preached the gospel, they received the word in the midst of much affliction, which was an approval by God. It's kind of interesting, because in chapter 2, Paul says, we have been approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel. Now, there's a key there. To be approved means to be put through trials to prove one's faith or to test one's faith. Not just what a person is going to do, but it provides the development of one's faith. And once a person has been proven by God to be able to endure tribulation, they are entrusted with the gospel. So Paul says the proof of those in the ministry is their endurance of tribulation. Because tribulation is indeed going to come, and tribulation is a main factor in understanding one's walk with the Lord. Because the Christians in Thessalonica, they received the word in the midst of much affliction and tribulation. These are the trials that the Bible says that God purposely sends and allows to come. Because it develops our faith. We studied that from the book of James chapter 1. Count it all joy, my brethren, when you fall into various trials, knowing that the trying of your faith worketh patience, or more literally, endurance. And let faith have its complete work. Let the trial, let the endurance have its complete work, that in the end you might be made complete. So endure the trial. Trust the Lord and remain under. Because that remaining under and the act of actually putting our trust in the Lord and being obedient to Him in the end will work out and change our character and change our life and transform it to be walking closer with Jesus Christ. And we ourselves, as people, we're going to be changed. So the tribulations and afflictions are very important. And Paul says that those trials and tribulations were our approval. Now today, a lot of people like to stay away from people who suffer or go through hardship for the sake of Christ. I can remember when I first received the Lord, there was an article in a devotional digest, and many of you have seen forms of it over the years, but it talked about a church that was looking for a pastor. And they had elected a pastoral committee to find a pastor and to interview people. And different people had put in their resumes and had come before the board, and they were real picky about what kind of person that they themselves wanted. Well, one of the board members got frustrated with it all. He saw some brothers that were very qualified and very able, but just because of the board, and they just didn't like him. So he put in a letter. He introduced a letter to the board that went something like this. I understand that you're looking for a pastor. I'm applying. He says, but I do want you to know a little bit about myself. Every town that I come into and preach the gospel, I cause riots. I've been thrown into jail many times. Once I was left for dead. I've been beaten, shipwrecked, persecuted in every place that I've preached. And so the man turned to the board and he says, what do you think that we should consider this type of person? They said, no way. We don't want any jailbird. Some guy that everywhere he goes is going to cause trouble. He comes here, he's going to cause trouble here too. Well, we don't want that kind of person. By the way, what's the signature on that? Who sent that letter? He says, well, I don't know. It's just signed Paul. Everywhere Paul went, Satan attacked, caused trouble against him and around him. Everywhere the gospel is preached in truth, there's going to be trouble. All around. The proof that they belong to Christ was they received, as we saw last week, not just Christ, but they received the truth of what God's Word said about Jesus Christ, even though they knew they were going to suffer for it. He says, that's approval. That is a sign that you belong to Christ. It's one thing to receive some kind of a gospel message when it's promised that you're going to be perfectly healthy, wealthy, and happy. But what about if you receive Christ and you're going to suffer for it? You're going to get kicked out of your house? You're going to get kicked out of your neighborhood? You're going to get kicked out of your homeland? It's all because you receive Christ. Because you believe what God's Word says about Jesus Christ. What are you going to do? Even in the parable of the sower, the Lord said there will be many ways in which people will receive the seed. The seed would be the Word of God. And all those in the ministry are supposed to do is spread the seed. How people react to the Word of God is not their problem. Just give the Word. There's only one out of four that actually received the Word of God for what it was, the Word of God and not from men. The other three responses were different, but they were all in rejection. And one of those was that they excitedly received the seed, but when trials came, they fell away because they had no root and they had no depth. In other words, they were excited. They received the word with joy. There was excitement there. But once the trials and tribulations came, they backed off. So we don't want anything to do with this. It's not fun anymore. It's not happy anymore. We've got to get down to the nitty-gritty. You know, the honeymoon's over. Down to the nitty-gritty of living life with the Lord. So they leave. So it really boils down to this. It's rejoicing with one another and fellowshipping with one another. But it's also taking notice who has gone through the trials and have put their trust in the Lord through all the trials. That's what it's all about. And if a person hasn't gone through the trials yet, there is a supportive cautiousness. Encouragement, but cautiousness. Because we really don't know how people are going to respond when Satan attacks and challenges. So he says, and I want to point out three things to you this morning from 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. Remember, he would preach the gospel in Thessalonica. He went on to Berea with Timothy and Silas. And he went on to Athens, and when he got to Athens, he says, I have decided to go to Athens alone. He sent Timothy back to Thessalonica. He says, those believers, they received the word of God in the midst of challenge, tribulations, and afflictions. To go back, and look what he told them he wanted to do. He said, I couldn't endure it anymore. So I went to Athens alone, and I sent Timothy, our brother, minister of God, and fellow laborer of the gospel of Christ, to do two things. To establish you. And secondly, to encourage you concerning your faith. Now, all of this has to do with faith and tribulation. Those are the two elements that Paul's involved with. He's not trying to make it easy for people. He is not trying to please their flesh or the human side of their life. He's not trying to entertain them. He is trying to help them in respect to the faith. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and we'll get to that in a couple of weeks in our study in 1 Corinthians, Paul said, I did not come to you with words of wisdom of man. I came to you and determined to preach nothing and present nothing to you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified, so that your faith would be established in the power of God and not in the wisdom of men. There are some people today, the people are trying to entertain them, trying to comfort them, trying to make them happy, and trying to establish them in this mode, and it is not of faith. Paul said, I came with the power of God to establish you, to put your faith in Jesus Christ. There's power in putting faith in Jesus Christ. Power to live every day and walk with Christ. But to please the flesh, Paul said, no. Timothy was sent to establish them, to say, trust the Lord in the midst of the trials. He didn't go to get rid of the trials. He came to encourage them and to establish them in the faith, because that's what it's all about. To be established in the things of the faith. I also notice this about Timothy. He's called our brother, a servant of God, and our fellow laborer. Very hard people to find. There are people who want to minister, but not be fellow laborers. The word labor means work to the point of exhaustion. To be a minister, a brother, and a fellow worker in the things of Christ. To the point that Timothy would go all the way back to Thessalonica to establish these Christians and to help them in the things of the Lord. But it was to encourage them concerning their faith, to put their trust in the Lord and not in man, and to expect something. Secondly, that no one should be shaken by these afflictions, literally tribulations. For you yourselves know that we were appointed for this. So he came to establish them and to encourage them in the faith. For we have been appointed unto tribulations. And that you should not be shaken and moved by them. You see, the real test comes when we're shaken. Not when things are going well. But when we're being challenged and our life is being shaken, what do? We don't always respond the way God wants us to respond. That's why the trial is there. It's interesting that this word tribulations or afflictions is the Greek word thlipsis. It's the same word that Paul used in Acts chapter 14, verse 22. You remember as he went through on his first missionary journey, and went through Lystra and Iconium and Derbe. And after he had established the gospel and preached the gospel there and people were saved, he went back through those cities a second time to tell the Christians and to establish them by saying that it is necessary that through much tribulation that you should enter in the kingdom of God. What Paul was saying is, once you've come to know Christ, I want you to know something. That it is necessary that through much tribulation or pressure or stress to enter in the kingdom of God. In other words, God sends trials and tribulations. We are appointed for that. And the reason that we are appointed for it is because through the stress and through the pressure and through the trial, we're forced to seek the Lord and we're forced to trust the Lord. I know that the Scriptures, God through His Word, has revealed to me that I would not trust the Lord, nor would I seek Him, unless He put me into a situation where He forced me to. I don't do that naturally. If there was no trial, and there was no hassle, and there was no challenge to my life, I'd just be skipping along, thanking the Lord, doing my own thing, just looking forward to being in heaven. But I wouldn't come to know Him very well. And I wouldn't be changed. And I wouldn't seek Him. I'm honest. If I have nothing to pray about, I don't pray. Some people pray all the time. I don't pray unless there's something to pray about. Sometimes I haven't talked with the Lord for 2 or 3 days. Until a big trial comes up and it's like, Lord, help! And he responds, well, there you are. Where you been? You see, it's through stress and pressure that comes up against us that causes us to seek the Lord. And it's necessary, Paul said. He didn't withhold from the believers. He said, you have been appointed for tribulations. So that you seek the Lord and that your faith is developed. That's what it's all about. So I don't want you to be disappointed and deceived and think that the Christian life is anything other than that. But in the midst of it all, your faith and trust in Jesus Christ will provide the strength and the power and the closeness and the walk with the Lord that you need for this earthly life and to be changed. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 says that Timothy was sent to establish you in the faith and encourage you concerning the faith, because so that you would not be shaken by these tribulations, for you yourselves know that we were appointed for this. God appointed us for tribulations. It is absolutely necessary. And the end result of that is, it approves us in the Lord. It proves we belong to Him. As we studied this morning from Romans chapter 6, and the other gospel writers also presented it, Peter says that we are those who are being kept by the power of God for salvation. Paul said in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 13 and 14, that we who have believed in Jesus Christ, that we were sealed with the Holy Spirit until Christ is to come. So I belong to Him. I'm not going anywhere. Romans 8, Paul says, nothing shall separate us from the love of Christ, not even death itself. There's persecution, trial, tribulation. None of these things shall separate us from the love of Christ. So if I belong to Jesus Christ, if I know Him, and I've been filled with and sealed by His Spirit, then I'm not going anywhere. And the trial is not going to separate me from Christ. It's going to bring me to Christ. In all of my weakness and in all of my fear, it's going to bring me to Christ. But if a person doesn't know Christ, and the trial hits and the tribulation hits, and it makes them leave the Lord and want nothing more to do with Him, they never belonged to Him to begin with. Because that's the challenge. We have been appointed for this, for our development and for our walk with the Lord. If a person, the writer of Hebrews in Hebrews chapter 12 says, if a person is without discipline and they are without the trials and tribulations that Christians have been appointed for, then they're illegitimate children. They have no right to claim to belong to Christ. Because we are going to be changed. We are going to be transformed into the image of Christ. We have been appointed for tribulations. And Paul and Timothy, blessed brothers, not out of a church program, but out of their heart and desire for people. Remember last week we left off by saying, the trophy is not the success of the program, it's people. When we stand before Christ, who are they when they stand before Christ? Are they saved? Are they changed? Do they know Him? Have they been developed in the things of Christ? Paul says, our joy and our crown is when you stand before the Lord. Your changed life. Not the success of a program. These brothers, and we're not talking about catching an airplane and going down to Thessalonica. We're talking walking. We're talking about a long journey. We're talking about Paul saying, I can't stand it. These brothers and sisters are going through trials and tribulations. How are they doing? Are they trusting the Lord? Do they need encouragement? Timothy, go down. Give them the encouragement they need to keep trusting the Lord, knowing that we have been appointed for these very things. It's not going to escape us. It's for our development in the things of the Lord. Thirdly, verse 4, for in fact we told you before, when we were with you, that we would suffer tribulation just as it happened. And you know. For this reason, when I could no longer endure it, I sent to know your faith, lest by some means the tempter had tempted you, and our labor might be in vain. He sent word to know their faith. Nothing more but their faith. Their trust in the Lord. Their continual trust in the Lord. Because he knew the tempter would come. The tester. He already knew it. How would you like to have someone come and be a guest speaker and say, I'm telling you here today that Satan is going to attack you and that you are going to suffer. And then it happened. Some people say, stay away from that guy. Never want him back. Everything that he says comes to pass. Well, we don't want him to talk about how Satan's going to attack, because Paul says, we told you that these tribulations are going to come, and it happened, didn't it? It's like, well, yeah, well, we're going to stay away from you. No, Paul was so convinced about the trials and tribulations that were to come that he told them, I'll tell you ahead of time. It's going to happen. And that's the sign of the believer. The one who is trusting the Lord through all the tribulations. But you see why Paul couldn't stand it anymore? He didn't know that they were trusting the Lord. They had left. They didn't know that they were still, excuse me, trusting the Lord. Or whether they had backed away because of the tribulations. He didn't know. He said, all I want to know is about your faith. Are you still trusting the Lord? That's all I want to know. And in finality, let's turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and see Paul's life, how he related to all of these brothers and sisters at every church concerning these tribulations that he had learned about. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. While you're turning there, let me just say to you that super apostles, as they were so called, super apostles had come into Corinth and claimed that Paul was an apostle, but that he was a super, that they were super apostles, more than Paul. And they were presenting themselves as people who did not suffer or suffer hardship for the sake of Christ. That Paul, he's always in trouble. People are always attacking him. He's always falling into circumstances of hardship and trial and tribulation. Not us. And so the people in Corinth, and we know from our study last week as we started, the Christians in Corinth were carnal Christians. People could come in and appeal to their flesh and win them over. So in chapter 11 of 2 Corinthians, Paul says, you have caused me to boast. And he in chapter 11, he presented physical circumstances to prove that he belonged to Christ. It wasn't his success or how good things were going for him, but how things were not going good for him. Stop and think about it. Why would somebody be beaten, shipwrecked, lose everything in his life just to serve Jesus Christ if it weren't true? I mean, the test is not how good things go for you by trusting the Lord. But when everything goes against you, what do you do about it? You still trust the Lord? Now that's the kind of person I want to get to know. Those are the people that I want close to me. Not the people who everything's going good for them. Because you never know. As soon as a trial hits, man, they're out of there. It's the people who have been approved by God. They've been tested. They've gone through the trial. So in chapter 11, Paul presents the fact that compare my sufferings in Christ to them. In chapter 12, he's discussing spiritual things. Now remember, Paul doesn't want to do this, but he says, you forced me to boast. It is doubtless not profitable for me to boast. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. So first of all, in chapter 11, it was circumstances, and now it has to do with spiritual things. I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago, whether in the body I do not know, or whether out of the body I do not know, God knows. Such a one was caught up into the third heaven. Now we'll see in a moment he's talking about himself. But notice he doesn't present himself as saying, hey, look what I've experienced. I died and went to heaven. Everybody would say, wow. They'd have him on their platform every opportunity. See? But he knew a man about 14 years prior, whether he was in his body or out of the body, whether he had actually died and left, he was caught up into the third heaven. So where he was, whether he was just unconscious or out of his body, he doesn't know, but he was caught up into the third heaven. And I know such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know, only God knows, how he was caught up into paradise and heard inexpressible words, which was not lawful for a man to utter. Which means he could not relate this to anybody. It was for him personally. Of such a one I will boast, yet of myself I will not boast except in my infirmities. Isn't that interesting? The only way that I'm going to talk about myself is in my weaknesses, because that's all I am. I'm just a weak person. In my flesh, I am weak. I'm without strength. I'll talk about what Christ has done, but about myself, I can only tell you about my infirmities. For though I might desire to boast, I will not be a fool, for I will speak the truth. But I refrain, lest anyone should think of me above what he sees me to be or hears from me. So he's refraining from making it personal, a personal experience. He's talking about Christ. And when he talks about himself, he kind of puts it in the third person. This other person experienced this thing. He's refraining so that people don't make him out to be more than what he really is. He's just a weak person. He's without strength except in Christ. And lest I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of revelation. See, now he's making it personal. It was him. But because of the abundance of the revelations, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. Oh, you want to get to know the Lord? You want to have truth revealed to you? The more truth you have revealed to you, the more you come to know about Jesus Christ, the more there will be tribulation in your life. You know why? So that He will increase and we will decrease. So that our flesh does not take the glory. Only the life of Christ. Now concerning this thing, verse 8, I pleaded with the Lord three times that it might depart from me. So he's been praying. And three times he says, Lord, I've got this thorn in the flesh. I have this problem. Satan is attacking my flesh and causing problems in my flesh. And we see that it's some kind of a health problem. And he's prayed three times for the Lord to deliver him. And God said to me, verse 9, My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect, that is complete in weakness. In other words, you don't have to be delivered. God's grace is sufficient for the strength for anyone to go through anything, if we'll just trust Him, if we'll just draw off of His strength, if we stop fighting and just submit to Him. Because God says His strength is made perfect or complete in weakness. So then Paul's prayer changed. His whole attitude about life changed. Look what he said. Therefore, most gladly, I would rather boast in my infirmities. I will boast in how weak I am. I will boast in my tribulations. That the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, weaknesses, in reproaches when people attack you verbally or people say things against you, in needs, in persecutions, and in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. His whole attitude changed about life. He said, just like you and I do, God deliver me. God help me. And God says, my grace is sufficient for you. My grace is sufficient for you. Because when you're weak, then I'm strong. And that's what Paul learned. Is that the more tribulations and persecutions came upon his life, sure his flesh struggled. Sure he tried to find his own strength and realized he couldn't do it. But then he turned to Christ. God told him, my grace is sufficient for you. My grace is sufficient to take you through anything and keep you through anything. You're not going anywhere. You belong to me. And the moment we stop struggling in the flesh and we just surrender to the Lord and rely on His grace to give us the strength, we realize the weaker we are, the stronger Christ is. And that's what Paul wanted. That's why he went throughout every city preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ for salvation, but he also passed back through them and said, "We are appointed to tribulation. It is necessary that through many afflictions and tribulations you enter into the kingdom of God." God has designed tribulations to force us and to cause us to seek the Lord, or else we wouldn't do it on our own. And by going through those tribulations and trusting Him and putting our faith in Him, we gain the strength and we receive the change that He has appointed us for in going through those tribulations. Peter said, "Don't think it some strange thing if a fiery trial come upon you." And yet we're still amazed. We think it's strange. Why am I going through this as a Christian? Why am I going through hardship? Why do I have to face this? Why do I have to go through this? Like it's strange. The Bible says it's not strange. You've been appointed for that. So you see two things. Number one, that's how we grow. That's how our faith is developed. God has appointed it to be that way. And secondly, as Paul said both in 1 Thessalonians and we saw it in 2 Corinthians, that's who the Christians are. That is God's approval on a Christian. It's not the person who quits. It's the person who keeps going on no matter what. And they have no reason to go on other than to be obedient to and to put their trust in Jesus Christ. And the person who bails out when the tribulation comes, that's the question mark. Because God's approval is upon those who trust Him through it all. And they are entrusted with the gospel. And yet it is appointed for us all to grow that way. So it's very interesting. We need to get this fixed in our mind. Paul was concerned about the Christians in Thessalonica. They were going through hardship, and he didn't know if they bailed out or they trusted the Lord. And when Timothy came back, he found out they were trusting the Lord. He knew that his labor was not in vain. Can you imagine being in Paul's shoes and suffering, going through all those hardships? It is discouraging to say, "I've gone through all these hardships, all these years, or all these months, or all these weeks, in order to minister to and bring the gospel to these people. And they received the gospel in much affliction, but then after we left, they bailed out. They quit." So we went through all those afflictions, all that for nothing. Sure, they had a chance. Sure, you can look at the positive side of things. But they didn't take our example. Paul's going to find out, as we see next week, that Timothy brought back word, which caused him to break out in thanksgiving about their faith. The tempter had challenged, but they remained in the faith, trusting the Lord through it all. That's what it's all about. The power of the Holy Spirit is not a concept. He is a reality. He is the Spirit who created the universe. And He lives in our lives to keep us in all of our ways so no one can take us out of the Lord's hand. We've been sealed until the day of our redemption. And He has been sent to comfort us and to empower us. But again, according to Paul in 2 Corinthians, he told them, "We have been made a new creation. We are now living, learning how to trust the Lord spiritually and not respond to the senses of the human flesh." We're a new creation. We live by faith and not by sight. That's what Paul told the Corinthians. They were carnal. They were fleshy. And he says, "We are those who live by faith and not by sight. We trust the Lord no matter what's going on around us." That's what it means to walk with Christ. Let's close in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You for the testimony of those who have gone before us. The challenge that's set before us is this. Satan comes to us through every physical circumstance and situation, whether it be physical illness or hardship, whether it be circumstances that pressure us and come against us, or whether it be from people who attack us. Satan is pointing the finger and saying this to us. Are you going to trust the Lord and rely on the sufficiency of His grace or not? Every situation in life asks us that question. And You have appointed us to face these questions and to voluntarily, free will, out of our own choice and heart, to make that choice to follow You. Our hearts are being tested and challenged. It's being revealed to us who we are. Sometimes we get disappointed. We want to quit just because we find out we don't want to trust You. But then You minister to us and show us that we need to be changed and transformed. That we need to be obedient to You. And we pray that You administer that to our hearts. That You are working and You are molding and You are making us to be the people that You would have us to be. That new creation in Christ to function spiritually. And not according to the human senses. Help us to learn that Your grace is sufficient for all things. And how necessary it is for us to be weak so that You can be strong. Help us to rejoice and want that in our own lives. That it doesn't matter if we're weak and it doesn't matter if we're going through tribulations. That all we want is the power and the strength of Christ in us. May we arrive at that point, that relationship that Paul had, when we stop asking for a way out and start looking for a way in. When we live in the joy and the grace and the strength and the power of Christ for His purposes and for His glory. And that is our satisfaction, not how things affect us or what's in it for us. May our lives be changed. For the glory of Jesus Christ. We pray in His name. Amen.